All right, welcome back to another episode of the Justify Your Existence podcast. I'm your host, Brendan Farrell, and today I am joined once again by our very own James Murphy. James, how are you?
I'm pretty good. We're up to the time of year. One of the things that stuck out to me ever since I've moved down here is the way I look at it is it's the time of year where the football field gets a little grimier. And by that, obviously that being one, the weather's getting colder, and two, we're getting into playoffs, or in this case, a very, very important time in the schedules of our area college teams.
You know, are you saying that you're starting to see the fields turn brown a little?
Okay, I'm sorry I missed the reference, but yes. Yes, that's what I mean.
I don't even know the reference. I was just messing around.
Oh, okay. I thought there was like a band reference in there somewhere.
No.
Song reference.
No. So we're going to talk about a few different things. You know, Ole Miss and the college football playoff. And, you know, Mississippi State has another big game this weekend against Georgia, which you will be at. So we have a good amount to talk about, but first, a message from our sponsors at the good folks at Vanelli's Bistro here in Tupelo. Vanelli's Bistro is turning 50 and would like to thank the people of Tupelo for your support all these years. We look forward to the next 50 years. Vanelli's Bistro is located at 206 West Main Street. If you want to call in your order for pickup, the number is 844-4410. All right, James, I think the first thing I'm going to get to here is the first rendition of the college football playoff rankings are out. This just happened on, I think, Tuesday.
Yep.
And, I mean, obviously the big news for folks around here is that Ole Miss is at number 6. Currently, as things stand, obviously things are going to change a lot between now and when the actual, like, playoff bracket is set, but right now they are set to host Virginia and then face Texas A&M in the next round should they win. Your thoughts?
Pretty appropriate. If I'm just kind of splicing it, it seems like the committee is valuing Ole Miss's strength of schedule compared to that of BYU. Look, I really just think from here it's a matter of, for Ole Miss, I believe the phrase goes, controlling the controllables. As long as they do that the rest of the way, I think they'll probably be in at 6. You could probably stand to benefit if one of the teams ahead of you loses, but I don't think you're worried about that. You're just worried about the Citadel, Florida, and Mississippi State in that order. I honestly think that's what it comes down to, because they were in this same position last year and let it slip away. And I think, what was it, the second to last game of the year? And I think this time around, you obviously don't want that to happen. That's all you're focused on if you're Ole Miss.
Yeah, and then, you know, obviously, I'm sure the folks in the Grove would love to have, you know, that whole scene going before a playoff game, as, you know, as they're currently set to.
That would also be pretty advantageous to winning out, because, again, I'm pretty sure if you win out, you're probably hosting a playoff game. Forget making it, you're hosting. And again, I don't know what the time would be. I don't know if it would be the Friday, the Saturday night, or the Saturday early slate or the midday slate. But that's certainly an extra motivator for wanting to close it out these next three games.
Yeah, and then, I mean, to me, the big thing is clearly you're going to be, like, no lower than 6th if you went out, no?
I mean, I'm trying to think here. I'm looking at the guys' teams behind them. Yeah, I don't see anybody who could jump them outside of, I mean, Oregon is probably not, I'd say so, unless, I don't really see a team jumping them except maybe Texas Tech, if something changes, like maybe if Ole Miss doesn't look that good in a win, or Texas Tech does it, but you're right, I don't see a way that they really drop that much if they take care of business.
It'd feel a little backwards if they somehow moved down despite not losing.
It would, yeah. But I know that a lot of times the committee will look at how a team has won or how a team has looked when winning, and we'll see what happens there.
Yeah. Just what were your one more note on Ole Miss before I was going to transition a little. Is that they are the third best one-loss team by the CFP rankings, I believe. And all of the top three one-loss teams are SEC teams.
Yes, and one of them beat Ole Miss.
Which, I mean, it feels a little like circular logic because it's, you know, well, it's like, you know, the one loss is because they all play the, you know, the best teams. But, I mean, they're all SEC teams, right?
They are. It's just basically number four beat number five and number five beat number six. So I guess that made it pretty easy for them.
If you hate the so-called SEC bias, you had a really rough night on Tuesday because, again, all three of the one loss teams are, you know, the first three one loss teams are all SEC teams, and just your overall reactions.
Pretty sound. I don't know if there were many differences between that and the AP. Overall, if you're asking overall, I don't know if I love Notre Dame being that high. But we know what it comes down to. You know what it comes down to. I know what it comes down to. The listeners know what it comes down to. It's the brand. And I think a big thing is, like, Louisville went to Miami and won. Notre Dame went to Miami and lost. And Notre Dame's 10th, Louisville's 15th. Now, I know the ACC, in the words of Hannibal Buress, as a conference, is garbage. But, look, I head-to-head comparative results need to matter. And it just doesn't seem like it was that here. It just felt like, all right, we're going to take care of the top teams, and let's just sneak in some big brands here and there.
The ACC can have a team as a treat.
As a treat. It's like, here you go, buddy.
Yeah. That was kind of sort of my general thing, was like, Oregon's at 9?
yeah, that's a little, I guess they're also looking at kind of strength. I mean, the Penn State game does not look like the result it once did. So I think that works against them quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, for Oregon, it's like more of a, here's how good I think you are, but I don't have any way to like tangibly prove it other than you've beaten the brakes off bad teams this year. Right. I just thought that was interesting because I'm like, man, they're one loss on the year is to number two in the country.
It is, but ever since then, again, their one win, their best win doesn't look like as good of a win. And other than that, look, in the last couple of weeks, they struggled. Like, they let Wisconsin hang around at home, which didn't make a ton of sense. Who knows? Maybe, because I know BYU and Texas Tech, the two teams right ahead of them, play each other. Maybe Oregon jumps the loser and they're number eight, or who knows, maybe something else happens and you just have a ton of one-loss teams between spots four and I guess it would be eight. But yeah, Oregon, I still feel like they are like Ole Miss, where if they went out and they're 11-1, they should be in comfortably.
Yeah, I just find it hard to deal with that run of Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss, because it's like, okay, well, Alabama beat Georgia, so they should be, you know, above Georgia, who beat Ole Miss, right? But Alabama has the worst loss of the three.
They do, but they've looked incredible since. Outside of a shaky run defense and a hard time running the ball.
Right,
but,
because if a loss happens week one, it's like it never happened at all.
In this day and age of college football, where it's tough to get continuity going right out of the gate like it was a couple years ago, then yeah, I guess so.
And then my personal thought is that if Indiana and Ohio State swapped, like if they had the same resumes but like swap names, Indiana would be number one, but like, you know, that's or like, or like Ohio State with Indiana's resume would be one and Indiana with Ohio State's resume would be two, but that's besides the point.
Name brands, Brendan, name brands. You don't have to like it, just gotta acknowledge that it's a thing.
Well, yeah, where would we be without the college football playoff committee taking care of the big brands?
Won't somebody think of the big brands, please?
Yes. Won't somebody please think about them? Yeah, I don't know. Just like anything else you want to touch on there?
I'm trying to look through the rest of these. That's about it, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I don't really feel like we need to touch on Ole Miss that much more, considering that they are playing the Citadel this week. The only thing I can really say is that we really just need to ban SEC Cupcake Week. I'm so happy that it's going to be gone next year.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, I think you said something, what was it, yesterday? No, it was the day before, about how cupcakes are a necessary evil.
Early in the season, yes.
Yeah, but again, in November, it doesn't make sense. It's like, if you truly want to have some sort of break, just have a bye.
Yeah.
That's it. Just have a bye. Like, both Mississippi teams, I mean, to their credit, before the Egg Bowl, they just have a bye.
Yeah.
Just have a bye. If you don't want to play, just have a bye. Don't take your fans through this where it's like, oh, we're going to play Mercer or whatever FCS team we can find in the region that'll take our money.
Yeah. Like, if you want to play, like, the reason why I call it a necessary evil is that, like, these smaller programs need the money. But it's just gross when it's in November instead of September. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, November or in September, you at least have the excuse of, like, you know, we just want to get everybody reps and, you know, we got to shake off the rust and all that. And I understand that. And I mean, even at the NFL level, week one is absolutely wretched every year because it's just gross.
Especially now with the decreased preseason, but yeah, point made.
Right. So that I understand. It's just when it's like in the heat of the season, I'm like, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
So exactly. The good news is with the SEC adding another conference game, we don't have to deal with this anymore. It wasn't that long ago the Citadel was tied with Alabama at halftime. So.
Very true. And I do believe they run a triple option, which can be hard to defend.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you have had a fair amount of Mississippi State stuff on your plate this week. You were at the presser on Monday after Mississippi State won its first conference game in 2 years. And again, I'm always going to rip on that win because it was a 7-3 win over Arkansas. This time they do it again against Arkansas in a, less terrible game.
I think so because, you know, more points. The comeback at the end obviously got people hooked in. I mean, look, if you have more points, most of the time you're going to have more people watching it. To me, it was entertaining.
At the very least, you don't feel like Frank Beamer at the, you know, in that famous screenshot of the, like, 0-0 game or whatever.
Right.
But, how was it on Monday? Like, I imagine, you know, the air is probably a little lighter in Starkville right now. Everything probably just smells a little nicer. I'm trying to think of, things that are slightly more convenient. There are more parking spots on campus, maybe.
I'll give you one. The 600-pound gorilla is gone. The thing that we mentioned last week, the 600-pound gorilla is gone.
The sun shines a little brighter. A little warmer.
The coffee tastes better.
Yeah, the coffee tastes a little better and all that.
Yeah, it does. There was that. There was also, I think it had been long enough where now they just kind of want to focus on the upcoming Georgia game. But in terms of the Arkansas win, look, I said it was now or never, and tip of the cap, they got it done. I did not think they would after they went down by 14 in the fourth quarter because it didn't look like they could stop anything. And I know that all of Mississippi State's fans were going nuts, like, why'd you take out Kamario Taylor? He scored 2 touchdowns, and he did look very good in spot duty. But, look, I think credit is due to Blake Shapen, who just stayed aggressive. Webby stayed aggressive. One of the things that stood out to me is when Blake Shapen went down with that negative play that they were able to just kind of – and I know going for it would have been tough. I know you going for it would have been a lot tougher at being 4th and 23. But a part of me could have seen a world where Webby tried to go for it just in order to get closer to tying the game. But taking the field goal, not necessarily being conservative, but just kind of finding a middle ground was impressive to me. Like, there were a lot of and that was another thing that I was watching for, because Lebby said that he needed to be more aggressive. And another moment that stood out was before the fourth down play that resulted in a touchdown, he took a timeout. You may remember from last week when I mentioned how before a big play against Texas that could have gotten them closer to winning the game, that he didn't take a timeout to settle him down. This time, he took a timeout, settled him down, and from what I understand, it was executed perfectly because it was an option route. Anthony Evans picked the shorter out route as opposed to the, I believe, some sort of deep route. He got wide. He was the first read. Chapin found him right away. Evans catches it, and he's able to score. Just a tremendous job by him. And Brendan Thompson, who had like a sliding, like 20, 40-plus yard catch to get them into scoring position. Just look, it was a resilient win. It was a tough win, especially after week of getting close but never really getting it done. It really speaks to the resolve of this team. It really speaks to what they're capable of when they're on. And I think now, especially being one more win away from bowl eligibility, they can almost relax and continue to be more aggressive the rest of the way.
Yeah, it seems like they've maybe found a little bit of a middle ground between, you know, nobody believes in us. Nobody's going to, you know, give us a chance in these games and, you know, all that. And, hey, we actually know what it takes to win an ICC game now.
They do. And, again, it's all about and I know people will talk about, oh, well, it's Arkansas. But much like the NFL, it's like you have to learn how to win in some cases, especially early on in, like, a head coaching tenure or when a team has just been so bad for a while that they need to really get going. This is one of those things. You need to learn how to win. And now that they have something like that on tape, they can go into Georgia with some more, with quite a bit of, with a healthy sense of optimism, in my opinion.
Well, on the one hand, you are right. On the other, Arkansas has been like the worst team at closing out games I think I've seen since the legendary Scott Frost year at Nebraska in 2021.
I was in the state of Nebraska for that one, and let me tell you, to be around Husker fans as that thing continued to happen week after week after week was stunning. Almost as stunning as seeing the last game of his Nebraska career a year later.
And, you know, Arkansas is infuriating. They are truly infuriating because you're like, you can see it. They clearly have talent. They can, you know, really put points on the board. They cannot close out games at all.
No, it was kind of one of those things where it's like very stoppable force met very movable object. And where it was just like both teams had a lot of trouble in the fourth quarter. I think they were the two worst SEC teams in the fourth quarter. I don't know what the exact thing was. I just remember seeing something on the broadcast like that. The point being, something had to give, and it looked like Mississippi State was going to give. Turned out being Arkansas.
You're saying it was coughing baby versus coughing baby.
I am. That's another good way to put it.
So how do you feel about Georgia? Because, again, you will be there you know, for coverage purposes on Saturday. So just how are you feeling about that matchup?
The big thing for me is there are weaknesses in Georgia to be exposed. The passing defense is not great, both when it comes to coverage and getting to the quarterback. Brendan, if you look it up, they are last in the SEC in sacks. And I know that Mississippi State gives up a lot of them, but statistically they are going up against arguably one of the lighter pass rushes that there has been in Georgia, at least in recent memory, and certainly one of the lesser in the SEC this year. So maybe they could take advantage of that enough. And again, they found something against Arkansas where Brendan Thompson and Anthony Evans played like the guys that Jeff Lebby recruited to come to Mississippi State and was really able to take advantage of that in a meaningful way. Another thing, the one thing I am concerned about, however, is Georgia's run game versus Mississippi State's run defense. Even in the win over Arkansas, the Razorbacks just kind of got whatever they wanted on the ground. And now, granted, Arkansas is a pretty prolific running team and really offensive team. I could see a world where Georgia just leans on them, leans on them, leans on them until they finally pull away late in the end. I'm curious to see what the mentality of Mississippi State is going to be into this one, because again, this would be if their next win, whether it be this week or the week after or the week after, would get them a bowl berth, which would be massive for them and massive for the program and has been a big goal of them really all season. And I'm curious to see what the mentality is there. Then again, on the other side, they've been in so many emotional games for what, the past month to month and a half, that do you have anything left in the tank for when Georgia comes into town, or do they just roll you? So those are just some of the biggest factors at play for me.
Well, for me, one of them is that Georgia likes to do this like weird rope-a-dope thing where they just sort of sandbag for a bit and then catch you off guard when you think that you've like put them away. Because I think they've had a number of comeback wins this year, and it's it sort of feels like they're playing with fire, but I mean, you know, I think they can probably get away with it again against Mississippi State because, well, I mean, we just got done talking about how Mississippi State is about closing games out. You know, I don't think anybody needs us to rehash that. But, you know, interesting things happen at home. And sometimes weird things happen in noon kickoffs.
Yeah.
Or 11 a.m. kickoffs, really. They're, as somebody from the East Coast, they will always be noon kickoffs to me.
No, 100. I co-signed that as a fellow East Coast native. But, yeah, you wonder if those 60,000 cowbells that Jeff Lebby really wants to show out, make an impact. That I'm really interested to see how that is and to see if the home field advantage in that sense really works. Look, again, it will really come down a lot to playing late. And I think that's where the run game can really help you out because if you get the – because if you just lean on people, then eventually if the other team doesn't hold up, and most of the time they don't, the Levy usually tends to break. It's going to be interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah, you need to maybe not use the word Levy when talking about Mississippi State.
We have a smart audience. They know what I'm talking about. We have a very smart audience. It's fine.
I'm just saying it's a little too close. But, yeah, I mean, my big problem is that Mississippi State might be in a world of trouble on defense in this game. Right. I'm just concerned about them on the ground. And, you know, I worry about them getting into a game situation where not only, you know, like if they fall behind, it's like, well, not only are you having to, you know, resort to your passing game, which has been something, you know, this year. But, you mean, it's a game situation where you know, Georgia's inclined to run the ball. And we're talking about the Georgia team that is, you know, number 42 in the country in EPA per rush versus Mississippi State's 109th EPA per rush defense, right? That just seems like a bad matchup, and Georgia's fared well against the run themselves. So it's just one of those things where it's like I just don't really know where the plus sides on the matchup are this week for Mississippi State, but. You know, Georgia hasn't exactly been super impressive this year. They haven't been, you know, like the peak of their powers, Georgia, in a couple of years, right?
Right.
And again, you know, this is a Mississippi State team that has had some, you know, decent to good teams on the ropes and, you know, willing to let them, you know, get away, right? I'd still obviously lean Georgia here, but. It'll be interesting to see, I guess. I think my big problem with Mississippi State is that, you know, we are this late into the season, and I'm just like, I don't really know what the identity of this team is. And, you know, like, they just kind of do a bunch of things adequately.
What they're trying to be is, like, a high-flying offensive team where it's, like, a lot of air raid, a lot of quick tempo, a lot of fast, and we're going to try and play from ahead and be aggressive. And defensively, while they may not be I don't know if they'd be elite, but just make the plays when they have to, because I think that was a big thing against Arkansas. It's like the defense did not have a great day, but they made the plays they had to when they had to, and I think that's probably what you're hoping for against Georgia, where the offense stays humming and the defense just, when they need to make a play, they need to make a play. I'm also interested to see what happens with Bothwell. I don't know if he wasn't 100% last week or whether it was a result of Arkansas stuffing the box. But he didn't have a great day. I wonder if either that continues or just something else happens.
Yeah, and then, that was kind of what I was thinking about was, I feel like a lot of times with this team, it's, we want to use our run game to get ahead of the sticks and then take chances through the air. You know, sort of high success rate, low explosives on the ground game, and then, you know, low success rate, high explosives in the passing game. I just don't really know how much that's actually come together this year. Right, and it's just, I don't know, it's just one of those things where I'm like, I don't really think Mississippi State has, like, a flavor this year other than it exists. Does that make sense?
Like, vanilla?
Yeah, kind of. But that's such a, like, I don't know, derogatory term for, like, anything.
No, but, okay, that's fair, but I do see where you're coming from.
you know? So, I don't know. Maybe that's just me. But it's like, yeah, Mississippi State is like a, I don't know, top 40 team this year, which is fine. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I will say, I wonder if the morning kickoff kind of makes it hard to get the energy going in the building as it would have been if it were, say, afternoon or night, and whether that how much that factors into it.
Yeah. Anything else you wanted to mention here?
I'm trying to look. I mean, that's about it. I'm curious to see how the play-the-next-play mindset goes, because that was a phrase that they've been harping on all year and really factored in against Arkansas. I'm interested to see how that goes in. And I also see a world where Mississippi State just gets, how do I put this, out-athleted, if that makes sense, where it's just like Georgia has too many guys in too many places and it's just hard to overcome.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to move on to Mississippi State basketball here just for a little bit, because, I mean, I was there last night for the opener against North Alabama. I don't want to spend too much time on it because, I mean, it was North Alabama, right?
Right.
But I did want to go down there just because it was the first game of the season, and they got a lot of new faces. And they made sure that they played, you know, a lot of them. A lot of shuffling early on, and, you know, trying to figure out who works with whom and a lot of different things. But amid all of the, like, sort of newness, it turns out Josh Hubbard is still really good at basketball. Like, I know that's a hot take.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You know, I think we're still figuring things out in terms of, like, you know, what we've said is, like, they need to stop playing Josh Hubbard do stuff basketball, at least on the offensive side of things. And
a lot of times he can do stuff.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's a great go-to. It's a great, easy button. You know, those old, like, what?
Staples.
Staples, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, just a nice little, like, when in doubt, like, you have Josh Hubbard.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was 27 points, 8 assists last night.
Yep.
But it's just trying to figure things out behind him. And obviously, it's not going to all come together in one game. Jabari McGee was probably the most impressive of the new guys.
The UAB transfer, right?
Mm-hmm. I believe he had 14 points. And most of it coming in the second half. And they really figured things out in the second half. I think they were only up by like 1 point at halftime. And, you know, then just really turned it on. They actually trailed, I believe, by 9 in the second half. And it was just one of those things where you're looking around, especially after the way, like, last season ended, where it was just, they weren't bad, but they weren't particularly great, you know, and it wasn't exactly the most appealing brand of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start the year and you're down by 9 at home in the second half to North Alabama. And it's just one of those, you know, you're just kind of sitting around looking around like, Is this really what this team is, right?
Like, is somebody going to get going?
Yeah, it is the meme of the guy poking the thing with the stick and be like, come on, do something.
Right.
And they figured it out, and it wasn't in a game down the stretch, but it was a little, you know, and Jans mentioned it afterwards. And Mississippi State is not the only team in college basketball to have a bunch of new faces. You know, this stuff takes time, and, you know, look around, and there's a lot of college basketball coaches dealing with the same thing. And so we'll see where it goes. The second half was encouraging, we'll see where things go from here.
How did the front court look? Who stood out there?
I mean, again, they just sort of just rotated guys in and out so much that you know, I will say Quincy Ballard had moments that the, I think, Slovenian newcomer, Sergei Makura, yeah. He had some nerves early on, messed up a couple of dunks to where you're like, does this guy have the yips? Like, but, I mean, he ended the game with 12 rebounds, you know. Yeah, they're still figuring things out, obviously, after losing Keyshawn Murphy last year. and Michael Nwoko, you know, so, I mean, things are, again...
Claudio Harris, just a bunch of guys.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was specifically talking about the big men, but...
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah, we'll see. But that's where I think things stand after last night.
All right, yeah. I mean, for State, look, to me, it's about... I think you have to win a tournament game this year. You've made it the past, 2 years? And now it's about, okay, now you got to break through. Yes, the SEC is tough, but you got to show that, one, you can finish out a couple of close SEC games, and two, that you get to the round of 32. I think those have got to be baselines for a successful season.
Yeah. Last 3 years, if you count the first four game.
That's right.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know, just anything else in general in the wide world of Mississippi college sports that you want to talk about?
Other than that, well, in terms of that, that's about it. But you can follow me on Twitter at JS Murphy Media. I tweet a lot about my game stories. As Brendan said, I will be at the Mississippi State games. My live tweets will start at about 11, probably a few minutes afterwards. Shout out TV. And you can also follow us on Instagram at DJournalSports. We've been getting that going lately. It's been a lot of fun. And yeah, you can make sure to find a lot of my live tweets and my game stories and features at djournal.com.
All right. You can follow me on Twitter at bferrell727. You can find all of our coverage at djournal.com and follow our journal sports Twitter account at djournalsports. Yeah, I'm not forgetting anything, am I?
Other than our sponsor.
Yep. Thank you. One last message from our good friends at Vanelli's. If you're looking for a family restaurant with a relaxed atmosphere and that won't break the bank, then come to Vanelli's Bistro in Tupelo. They've got pizza, pasta, and more. Go taste the difference at Vanelli's, located at 206 West Main Street. If you want to call in your order for pickup, the number is 844-4410. James, thanks for joining me again this week.
Thanks for having me. A lot of fun as always.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Take care and enjoy the games this weekend.